Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Share today this message with you. You know, Lord spoke to me last week in a really unique sequence, and felt like He was confirming some things, and so I felt like I wanted to make sure I deliver this message to you today. Last week, my birthday, Monday, September the 11th, is a time that you probably saw a lot of stuff on social media. Many of you probably posted two words on social media or saw those two words displayed all over the news or media, wherever you get your entertainment or whatever. And those words were never forget, right? These are words that, you know, have been displayed in accordance with 9/11 is never forget. And, I began to think about that. Those words, never forget, and I began to think, why do we have to be told not to forget, you know? There's a couple reasons, because, you know, we just have to know life goes on, right? Life does continue to go on. Sometimes there are very tragic moments, and in those tragic moments, sometimes for a moment in time, your life does feel like it stops. But life goes on. It does go on. And if you're not directly affected, then you're not directly affected. And sometimes it's for those that aren't directly affected, seem to move on a little easier, a little quicker than others. You know, it's natural that those things happen. Another thing, too, that we have to understand about this is time heals all things. I mean, time does heal all things. It's designed to do that. Now, you know, I'm the type of person that I don't forget much at all. I remember a lot of things. I mean, I can remember numbers like crazy. I can remember song lyrics like crazy. You know, my mom always is like, where's this song? And I mean, I can just hear a song and I know the words to it immediately. It's just things that I remember. I have a really good memory. I mean, even as a kid, when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I can remember my dad taking me places, and he'd show me, now you turn here, and now you turn here at this house, and look here, at here. And he'd give me things for me to see and remember, and he would drive me all over the place. And the only reason he would do that is so that I could get my mother back there the next day, because she couldn't find anything. And he would say, hey, I'm 4 and 5 giving her directions. I'm like, you know, Google Maps here, turn right, turn right. You sure? Yes, turn right. You know, and had to do that because I could remember, you know, just I could remember everything. You know, now some people, and I don't know if it's any of you, they seem to can't remember anything. You know, I mean, I run into people all the time that they just can't remember anything. And, you know, you are the reason why I think Art Fry, the inventor of Post-it notes, is a millionaire. You know, you made this guy a fortune. Actually, he designed Post-it notes so he could put sticky bookmarks in his hymnals. He was a worship leader at a church, and he wanted to mark his place in the hymnals. And so he created this these sticky notes. But then all of a sudden, what made it successful was not putting bookmarkers in hymnals. You know, sorry, worship leaders, that's not what did it. What did it was when people realized, oh, I can write reminders on these Post-it notes and stick them everywhere. How many is guilty of having Post-it notes everywhere? You know? Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I walk in some people's house and there's Post-it notes everywhere. I mean, it's like, how do you even function with that many Post-it notes? You know, but some people can't seem to remember anything. You know, I mean, people nowadays have apps on their phone to remind them of literally everything. You know, I mean, you have apps on your phones to set reminders to remind you of things you shouldn't forget. like picking up your kids from school. I mean, who needs a reminder that it's time to pick up your kid? Oh, some of you are probably guilty. And I work with someone that I'm with them, and all of a sudden they go, ding, ding, oh, it's time to go pick up my kid. I'm like, how did you not know that? How do you not know that school is ending and you have a child? Did you forget? You know? That people forget everything. I mean, you have made Apple another billion, because he said, oh, people forget everything. Let me create an AirTag so that you can put it on your keys, that you can put it on your wallet. Who loses keys and wallets? I mean, nobody loses keys. And you should know those keys are in your pocket and your wallet, unless it's in the very designated place that it's supposed to go in at your house, right? You walk in the door and it goes here. Don't move it. That's where it goes, right? But so many people they forget everything. So there's apps on your phone to remind you. There's AirTags to remind you what you need to do. There's Post-it notes. We do all these things to leave ourselves reminders to not forget things. But I digress. I began to looking into forgetting. Why do we forget? Should we forget? Is it natural to forget? And guess what? It's natural. We actually should forget. Oliver Hart was an assistant professor of psychology, and he wrote, "Forgetting is one of the most fundamental aspects of a memory system. Without forgetting, nothing would work." So we're designed to forget, because if we didn't, and why is that? Because in every single day, you have hundreds of thousands of bits of information that come in and out your mind. Right? We have so much stuff that's happened. We hear things. We see things. People tell us things. I mean, we read things. I mean, and information is coming and going all the time. Most of that information is useless. Some of you have a little bit more useless information than others. You know? Some of you aren't watching me right now because you're getting that useless information. You know? I promise you, Facebook has nothing more important than what I'm about to tell you today. Amen. I'll give myself one. Now, you know, we are programmed to forget things. Because if not, we would have endless amounts of useless information in our minds, and when we needed to remember something, we wouldn't, because we'd be processed with all this other stuff that wasn't important at all. So we have all this information in our minds that we need to get rid of so that we can remember the things that are important. So we forget certain things so we can remember others. That is what the most important thing that it comes to remembering stuff is, knowing what stuff to forget. That's why sleep is so important. If you don't sleep well, you know, scientists say that you're designed, your brain is a computer that never stops working. And when you go to sleep at night, not in church, when you go to sleep at night, you know, you begin to process the things that you need to get rid of and then to focus on the things that you need to remember. Sleep is important. Imagine if you couldn't forget certain things. I mean, I think everybody has realized that forgetting will serve you well. Well, what if, has anybody ever been upset, angry with someone? Well, let's not lie. We have. Imagine if you never could forget that. If you just were mad all the time, every time you saw that person, you just got mad all over again. And you know what? Some of you may be that way right now. But there's a thing about forgetting that's really important. It helps you move on. It helps you remember other things that are more important. Because if we can never get over when someone makes us mad, when someone makes us angry, if we just hold on to that forever, that's not going to help us remember the things that are important. What about if you had someone, you had your first high school sweetheart, your first love, and it wasn't the person you're married to right now? What if you never could get over that? Oh man, I think the person sitting next to you would be a little upset. You know, like, hey, stop thinking about them all the time. You know? I mean, we got to learn to move on, to get on with things. We have to forget certain things so that we can remember others. Do you know the scientific problem with PTSD? There's a scientific problem with PTSD, and what is damaged in someone that suffers from PTSD is that their forgetting mechanism has been damaged. And so what happens is instead of allowing the neurons of the brain to come in and take those things that we want to forget, those things that we need to forget, and replace them with new bits of information, they decide to suppress them in one sector of the brain, actually creating a wall around those memories, allowing them never to be replaced. So what happens to those that are suffering from PTSD is that there's a damage. Their brain has been damaged on the forgetting function. They need to forget these things that happen. I mean, all of us have seen tragedy, right? We've all seen, I mean, we've all in this room, probably everybody has lost someone that you dearly loved. And I'm not saying we should forget that, but we should forget grief, right? If we can't forget grief, how do we ever remember the great things about that person? Because every time we think about someone, we go into grief. God didn't design it that way. I mean, He is so, just so far advanced of what we can think or imagine that He's realized all these things that are going to happen to us in our life and that we need to process those things. So we need to learn to remember things, but we need to learn to forget things. You know, As I was studying the scientific things about forgetting and remembering, it gave us five things to help with memorization. Now, this isn't biblical yet. I'll get there, I promise. But there's five things that it would help you with memorization. Because there's things we need to forget, but it's just as important to learn the things you need to remember. Like this message I'm about to deliver to you today. Hello. Thank you. It's important, and it's things that we need to remember, to purpose in our hearts. So here are five things that I believe work in the natural scientifically, but also work spiritually as well. Number one, to memorize something, to remember something, to bring it back, is to assign meaningfulness. Assign meaningfulness. If you want to remember something, you have to assign it to something meaningful in your life. You know, that was a technique I learned in school when I tried to remember crazy history facts. You know, they give you so many details, and sometimes I had to find stories and assign meaningfulness to it so that I could remember and recall those details. But you know, you need to do that with the Word of God. If you read it and go, well, that don't mean anything to me, that don't mean anything to me, that doesn't mean anything to me, you've assigned no meaningfulness to it, and therefore, how do you get anything out of the Word of God? Number two, learn the general and then the more specific later. If you want to memorize something, learn the general, then the more specific later. I believe that can work for the Word of God. Sometimes we just need to learn some general things. If you're coming in new to the faith, you say, well, I don't know how to read the Bible. I don't know how to understand things of the Bible. Let's start with the general. Then we'll get into the specifics. There are things that are important that we want to teach you. That's what we use small groups for. That's what we use other discipleship classes that we do for, but we want to learn some general things. Then we can dive into the specifics. Number three, recite out loud and then in your own words. Recite out loud. So if there's something you read that you want to remember out of the Word of God, recite it out loud and then put it in your own words. You know, guess what? It's okay for you to read the Word of God and then to put it in your own words. I mean, they've got the King James, the New King James, the Message, the NLT, the NAB, the ASB, the EV. I mean, they have so many translations. Didn't somebody put it in their own words? So what's wrong with you reading a passage and say, man, I don't know if I get that, but let me change some words around. Let me put a little bit of y'all in there. You know? Sometimes when I read that, I just need to say, y'all need to straighten up. And I need to read the scripture that way. You know, we need to learn how to put it in our own words, to apply it, you know, find it meaningfulness. I love number four. Number four, teach someone else. Oh, if you want to learn how to memorize something, shouldn't you teach someone else? I think that was what Jesus said when he said, go and make disciples, right? Teach someone else. Teach someone the things of God. If you want to learn how to memorize it yourself, teach it. You know, the where I come, you know, I grew up in a wonderful household where I was taught the Word of God. I went to Sunday school and I went to church and all these things. But most of my knowledge of the Word of God came at the age of 16 to 21. Why? Because I taught children's church. I taught someone else. So many people say, well, I can't teach anybody. I don't know enough myself. I was 16 years old. Grew up in a great home. Grew up with the Word of God. But I took it seriously, and I began to read and understand how to teach children. If you can teach kids the Word of God, you'll learn it yourself. But if you bring your children to church and think that our teachers upstairs are going to do all the work for you, they're great. I love them. Those workers up there, they're fantastic. But they can't teach them everything they need to know. You have to teach them. You know why some people, I'm going to step on toes, I shouldn't even say it. It's not in my notes. But you know why some people don't want to teach their children? Because your children are your greatest accountability partners. Well, didn't you say you weren't supposed, didn't the Bible say you weren't supposed to do that? Well, shut up. Just do what I say. Don't worry about what I'm saying. They're your greatest accountability partners. Oh, I don't want to teach them too much. I don't want them to know too much. They already know. They know what they can get away with. Teach someone else. Number five, repeat it, retrieve it, and recall it. Repeat it, retrieve it, and recall it. You need to begin to repeat the things you want to memorize. That's how you memorized spelling words. You repeat it. You recall it. You recite it. You know, Miss Sherry's going upstairs with our children at the beginning of every children's church doing these types of programs with them where they learn to do this repeating and recalling and reciting things because it dives into to general things that they need to learn. If they can learn the general things, we can teach them specific things later. I am going to get to the Word of God. Amen. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hallelujah. I love this chapter. I love this passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's in the Old Testament. I'm going to read quite a few verses for you today because it's very important, these verses. Starting in verse 1, these are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. You must, it says. You must obey them. This isn't a recommendation from the Lord. This isn't a suggestion. He says, you must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Not for a little while. Not on Sunday. You must fear the Lord your God as long as you live, all your life. Let me tell you something. One, people don't know what the fear of God is. I'm not asking you to be afraid of God, okay? I'm not asking you to think that every time you step out of line or fall short or sin or do something you shouldn't do, that God is going to smack you down. I'm not asking for that kind of fear. It is a reverent fear of the Lord. That I respect God. And I respect Him so much that there is a holy fear. I'm not getting out of line. I'm not doing things I shouldn't do. The church needs to welcome the fear of God. But people don't like their toes stepped on. So when you start talking about fear, respect, reverence, and getting things lined up, we're like, don't tell me what to do. I'm not. God is. I'm just reading you the Word of God. I can't help it if you don't like it. But it says, you must obey them. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Amen. Listen closely. This is one of those, sometimes I may have to put in your own words right here for you. It's like, hey, you, pay attention. This is what God's saying right here. You know, you ever had to look at your kids and be like, you better look at me when I'm talking to you. This is what I'm saying today. This is what God's saying today. He says, listen closely. Look at me when I'm talking to you, boy. You know, you better get your head out of that phone. I'm talking to you right now. You know, I mean, sometimes we got to put this in terms that I hope you understand. He's saying, listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. And then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. He comes in verse 4 again and says, listen. I want you to know, when last week, Apostle Hendrik Voister was here, and he said, I love that you have the word listen out there. It came from this passage right here because I love it this much. That I knew that the most important thing that we could ever do as a body is listen to the guiding and directing of the Holy Spirit. That's the most important thing I believe that we can do. It is our core value. We have to listen. When he says do something, we do it. When he says move, we move. When he says stop, we stop. Right? Listen. And again, here in this passage, listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. There's where that fear comes in. Understanding that we should not put other things before God. This world is off track. The church is off track. Because they didn't understand this simple point. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. There is nothing that we should put above the Lord. Nothing. Verse 5, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. You must commit wholeheartedly. That means with everything you have. He's done talked about your heart, your soul, and your mind. Ask yourself today, do I love God that way? What do I love with all my heart, my soul, and my mind? Is it God? If I was in a relationship with God, would he even know? You know, do I call him enough? Do I talk to him enough? Do I write him love letters? This is a command. It's that he's created us for this. We must commit ourselves wholeheartedly. Verse 7, repeat them. How do we talk about remembering things? Repeat them again and again to your children. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. I mean, that sounds like all the time. Do you know, as parents, that we are constantly teaching our children in everything they see us do? But you know what? They'll still make mistakes. We made some mistakes too, hello? But we have to continue to teach them. Even in their mistakes, we teach them how to get through their mistakes so that hopefully their children will make less mistakes. Hopefully that they will learn from their mistakes. But we have to begin to teach them the things of God. Do you know the more you know about the things of God, the less you'll make mistakes? Oh, I tell you what, the fear of God. The fear of God telling my parents kept me out of a lot of trouble when I grew up. Y'all think I'm joking? Ask my sister. She graffitied a wall, and man, it's like mom and dad knew about it right away. She got in trouble right away. You know, dad come to me and said, oh, you know, God told me you did this. No, he didn't. I told him over and over, you're snooping, you know. Your parents, your kids need to have that kind of fear that you're that kind of parent, right? But if you talk to them, if you teach them, if you show them the things of God, they'll be less likely to make mistakes. I didn't say they won't. I made my fair share. Don't get them started over there. But you have to, but boy, I could have made a lot more. But we have to talk about the things of God at home, when we're in the road, when our kids are going to bed, when they're getting up. It should be on our lips. There should be the things we talk about. They should overhear us having wonderful conversations about how good God is, about how we love the Lord, about how we want to follow His decrees, the things that He's, how we are so excited about the promises of God. Our kids should know these things. But we have to teach them. It says, verse 8, tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What does that mean? Put it in your own words. Don't bring stuff that it shouldn't be in your home. Because the Word of God lives there. Right? I got in trouble for that when I was a kid growing up. Right? Because they took this seriously. We don't take it seriously. It's not that big of a deal. It's not going to change anything. It's not really, you know, what's this matter? What's that matter? I'm going to tell you, it matters. God said, listen closely to this. Verse 10, it says, the Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it is the land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. I want to tell you today, the title of my message is Don't Forget About God. Because I'm telling you, too many people have forgot about God. You know, this passage, that one thing that I thought jumped out to me is that he said, when you have eaten your fill, he talked about all the promises that he wants to give you, that you'll have prosperous cities, you'll have land, you'll have water, you'll have food, you'll have homes, you'll have all these things that you didn't even have to work for, that God will bless you with. And he says, and when you've had everything, when you've got all of it, don't forget about God. Don't forget about God. The number one thing I think that's happened in America today is people have forgot about God. I look around the room, and I look around the room and I see how many of you are blessed. How many of you have everything you need? How many of you have a great home? How many of you drive a good car? I mean, all of you are in nice, clean clothes today. I don't see anybody scooting away from you because you smell bad. I mean, you know, you got things that you need. God has taken care of all the details, right? You got it all. But my question is, have you forgot about God? How do we forget about God? We forget about God when things become more important than coming to church on Sunday morning. Oh, we forget about God. Well, I had this other thing. Yeah, how quickly does it take you to forget the things of God? How quickly does it take you to forget certain things when you put it aside for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Well, you know, I just been a busy. I had this, I had that. I get it. I understand life. But you cannot forget about God. What about all the blessings God has poured out? Open up all the opportunities. And we forget about God because we don't give our tithes and our offerings. The things that he decreed that we should do, bring your tithes into the storehouse. We forget about God, yet we have a house filled with all the things we need. We have our fill. We have our plenty. But we say, well, you know, I'll give you God, I'll give you what's left over. That was the mistake of Cain, with Cain and Abel. I'll give you what's left over after I've had my plenty. I forget about God. If you don't take the messages that are delivered on Sunday morning, I promise you by Monday morning you forgot what's been preached. You have to apply meaningfulness to it. I know there's many of you that go back and listen to them on podcast again just to take some notes and just apply them to your life. That's wonderful because it's the only way you'll grow. But if you hear a good message and you never go back yourselves and read Deuteronomy chapter 6 later on at home for yourself and begin to apply it to yourself, nothing will stand out to you. You'll get a little piece of information today. But I'm asking for you to apply everything that's being shared today to your life. And you'll see your life completely change. But we forget. We forget the things of God. Deuteronomy 6:16, if you jump down a few verses, it says, "You must not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained at Manasseh." Don't test God. We forget about God, and then we test God. How do we do that? How do we do that? Because when everything is good and plenty, when everything is flowing just right, we forget about God, and then when one thing goes wrong, what do? We come and test God and complain. Well, God, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this is going wrong in my life. I can't believe all this. We begin to test God. I'm telling you, this is a strict warning from the Lord to his people. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to his people. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the church about don't test God. Don't test the Lord. Don't complain about all these. The song y'all said this morning is perfect. It is well. In all circumstances, it is well. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to gripe. I'm not going to test God by saying, God, you've given me these blessings, and I'm not going to take care of them. I said it was a unique sequence of how the Lord put this message together. He gave me this passage one day, and I read it, which I love this passage. So I'm like, yeah, that's great, God. I love this passage. You know, I'll read it and study it again. That's wonderful. I love this chapter. But then, one evening while I was asleep, I had a dream. I had a vision. And I don't have those often. But I began to see this hand come off. Began to rise off of a group of people, off of a family. And I felt myself in this prayer crying out, just like Abraham did for Lot, saying, Lord, no, don't remove your hand. Because I know more than anything, God's hand is protection. And I saw it began to lift. And it was slow, but it was lifting. And in this dream, in this vision, I just began to pray. I said, God, don't do this. Why are you doing this? And he said, they forgot about me. And then I found myself beginning to cry out, well, don't let what is going to happen to their children. Don't let what is going to happen to this. Don't let what is going to, you know, protect this. And the hand just kept moving. It was like no matter how much I cried, no matter how much I prayed, the hand slowly just got further and further off. And I just felt, and I was drawn back as I woke up to this message again. And I read it again in this passage, and I see that we should not forget God, how he's given us a warning, how he's telling us we should not forget him. Because I believe what he's showing us is, as Apostle was saying, this is the year of blessing if the hand of God is over you. It is the year of prosperity if the hand of God is over you and you have an open heaven. But if we allow God to remove his hand because we don't follow and obey the decrees that God has given us, we are the ones putting ourselves in this problem area. And then what happens is when things go wrong, when things go bad, we come crying back to the altar. God, why did this happen? Why? And he's saying, because my people have tested me. It's not God that causes bad things to happen. The Bible tells you that there is a devil, that he comes about to steal, kill, and destroy. And if God's hand is not over you, you are subject to the devil taking things from you. I want to make sure that God's hand follows me everywhere I go. And that way the devil, he may still try to put things in my path, but I'm protected. I may still have my trials, but I'm protected. It's important that we understand what God wants for his people. I want you to jump down to verse 20. Still Deuteronomy 6. Jump down to verse 20. In the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? And then you must tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. Do you know that we were all in this room, every one of us, were still slaves to sin? And if Jesus Christ didn't die on a cross and raise from the dead, we would still be slaves to sin. What's important that we teach our children is that we were slaves and now we are free. It says the Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes. I've seen God do miraculous things, wondrous things. You know, and I tell those to my children because I want them to have the faith to know that God can do it again. And just as Apostle said, you're going to begin to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We need to begin to believe for it. It's harder to believe for it when you haven't seen anything. But you got to tell someone about what you have seen. Oh, I've seen God do great things. I've seen mighty things happen. I've seen new hearts. Right? We've seen these things. He did miraculous wonders before our eyes, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land that he sworn to give our ancestors. And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to bless us and preserve our lives. As he has done to this day, for we will be counted as righteous when, oh, you got to pay attention. We will be counted as righteous when we obey all the commands the Lord has given. I want you to know God wants to continue to bless you. And in this year, as Apostle said, that God is going to begin to bless his people. The promise is here in the Word of God. He wants to bless his people. He wants to have blessings over you. He wants to open up windows of opportunity for you. He wants to continue to bless us. But it says that we must obey these decrees so that he can continue to bless us. Too many people now want the blessings of God without the work that it takes. We want the blessings of God without following the rules and regulations. And you know, I hear it all the time. People say, well, you know, that's just too much. That's just all this stuff, you know. I can't be perfect. He just wants us to listen so that when he sees danger coming, he can say, stop! And we'll stop. Just like you with your children, right? When they're running toward a street and a car's coming, Do you want them to stop when you yell stop? But if you've taught them no discipline, if they've not learned to listen, if they don't obey carefully all your commands, maybe they keep going. You got to teach them to listen, to obey. To obey. And as you teach them the discipline, you learn the discipline that it takes to obey your Heavenly Father. He's asked us to obey these things. He's not asked us to obey these things to make us where we just have to follow all these rules and have no fun in life. I promise you that. It's not so that you can just be these boring group of people. Oh, he's got to follow these rules and cannot have any fun. You know, that's not God. That's religion that teaches you that. I'm not telling you what you can't do. I'm telling you what you can have. I'm telling you what God wants to bless you and give you everything your heart's desire, right? When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And when we commit to him, he'll bring it to pass, right? He wants to give us everything. We are the ones that take ourselves out of God's blessings. I know what God has done for you already is great. I'm glad that you're prosperous. I remember a couple years ago when we were coming into the fast, I remember saying to my dad, I said, we're fasting and praying, but I don't know of anything big we need to fast and pray for. Everybody's good, you know? I look around, I'm like, man, they're healthy, you know? They're prosperous, they got jobs. I mean, God was giving houses out. I mean, I'm like, yeah, God, you're good. You know, and I was saying, man, what do we need to fast and pray about? And that's when it hit me. Just for more of him. Just for the presence of God. If we got all that we need because he's blessed us and we're living in the land of plenty, don't we just need more of God? More of his presence. I'm glad you're healthy. I'm glad God brought you through that. But now what? We must not forget. We must continue to obey, and he will continue to bless. 2 Peter 1:8-10. It says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. It takes work. It doesn't take just showing up on Sunday every once in a while to prove that you are who God has called and chosen. It takes work. It takes everything we have. It says, do these things and you will never fall away. I'm so thankful that the Lord gave that word to our apostle that we will see an open door for people to return to FWC. Why? Because people have fallen away. People have fallen away. You know, that hurts my heart when I see those that were once close to the Lord fall away. We fall away because we get disconnected from the Lord. And then it becomes easy to fall away. It starts with you getting upset when someone says, man, we really missed you on Sunday. Oh, well, there you are trying to convict me. No, I ain't trying to convict you. We love you. We don't want anyone to fall away. We don't want anyone to get disconnected from the Lord. Well, you know, brother, you don't know. I have this wonderful devotion time. I'm with God all the time. Yeah? Really? What about the decree that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and even more so as you see the day approaching? There's still decrees. I'm glad you have a devotion time, a prayer time, a study time. We're required to do that. He wants us to draw closer to him. But I want to tell you, there's more. There's more. There are consequences for those that forget the Lord. We don't like to think about that part. Most people don't like to talk about that part. But I'm going to read you a scripture, Isaiah 65:11-12. It says, but because the rest of you have forsaken the Lord and have forgotten his temple, and have forgotten his temple. And because you have prepared feasts to honor the god of fate, well, whatever happens. And have offered mixed wine to the gods of destiny. Now I will destine you for the sword. All of you will bow down before the executioner. For when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. You deliberately sinned before my very eyes and chose to do what you know I despise. Wow, that's a powerful, man, that's a step on your toe scripture. That's a step on your toe scripture. Because he's warning us to hear the voice of the Lord and answer when he calls. How can you answer if you don't hear? How can you listen if you've closed your ears? How can you know what God has for you when we deliberately know we do what God is displeased with? How? How? God wants so much more for us. I'm going to take you to Psalms 119 and give you good news. I want to end on good news. I don't want you to feel like I'm stepping on your toes today. Psalms 119, it says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commands carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Oh, I love that. That my actions would consistently, not occasionally, not on Sunday, but my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. This goes to our third core value. Live. Live a life that is pleasing to God and wins respect of others. Somebody say amen. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. Would you be so bold to take a look at your life and compare it to the commands of the Lord? As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please, don't give up on me. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Oh, the way we learn, we hide the word of God in our heart that we don't fall short and we don't sin against the Lord. I want to close with this scripture. Simple, Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My child, never forget. Never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. And if you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. The things that God wants us to not forget are his decrees, his regulations, the things that we have been taught. I want you to forget all the other things of useless information in this world. I want you to forget what the news says. I want you to forget about the upcoming election. I want you to forget about all the hardships and tragedies and grief and anger and pain and all these things you have felt in your life. We got to put those things aside and learn to forget them and remember what God has done for his people. Remember that he has a promise for you. Remember that he wants to bless you. Remember what he's taught you. What you have learned from the word of God. What you have learned from this pulpit that's been preached for almost 30 years of truth. What you've learned when you read the word of God. This is what he wants to teach you. This is what he wants you to remember. If you had this in your heart, if you live this, if you compare your life your actions consistently with the Word of God, one day he'll stand before the Lord and he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But I want to tell you today, if that's not you, you can't do that. You say, "I haven't lived a life that is pleasing to God. I'm still struggling with sin. I still do things even though I know that they aren't pleasing to God. Today I need God to cleanse my heart. Today I need God to forgive me of the things that I have done that were not pleasing to Him. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you." Because you know what? You may be in that situation now, but you're not the only one. Everyone in this room has been there at some point in time. We've all lived lives that weren't pleasing to God. We've all done things that we knew were wrong and did them anyway. We've done it. Even those that I could look around this room and say, the holiest of the holiest that I know. I know we've probably done things that were not pleasing to the Lord. But just like he said in the scripture in Psalms, "Don't give up on me." I'm here to tell you today, God hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on you. Whatever you've done in your life, whatever mistake, whatever failure, whatever shortcoming you've had, God is standing here today saying, "I haven't given up on you." And it's not too late to take my word and hide it in your heart. It's not too late to live a life that pleases the Lord. He wants that for you. The question is, do you want that? Do you want that today? Do you want him to stand there and say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or do you want him to say, depart from me because I never knew you? I promise those words will not be reserved for people that never stepped foot in a church only. Those words will be reserved for people that came to church on Sunday mornings but never answered the call. That never answered the call. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? This is a time of reflection. A time that we say, I'm going to compare my life with your decrees, as the word said. And I'm going to ask, has my life been pleasing? Have I done what I know is important? If today you know you haven't been living a life that pleases the Lord, and you want to ask him to forgive you, you want to ask him to come into your heart today, again, even if it's a second or third time, to purify your heart. When he comes in, he cleans it up. Today, God, I want to be pure before you. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this is the first time you've ever heard a gospel message and say, I don't know everything about what you're talking about. I don't know this Jesus, but I don't want to hear those words. Depart from me, I never knew you. I want Jesus to come into my life today. I want to give my heart to him today. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's the most important thing you'll ever do. Is ask Jesus into your heart today. I want all of us to repeat this prayer after me today. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I ask you today to come into my heart, to come into my life, to cleanse me, to purify me, so that my life will be pleasing to you. Lord, let me compare my life to your word, so that my path is straight. Forgive me where I've forsaken you. or I have forgotten you. And Lord, I make a promise today to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus, we say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I promise you, if you read this passage, you study this, and you look at the decrees, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. You say, I don't know all the decrees and the regulations and the laws that God is asking me to live by. Get into the Word. See what He wants for you. It's not just the Ten Commandments. It's not just that. He wants you to love your neighbor. He wants you to love your enemy. He wants you to love those that persecute you. He wants you to forgive. He doesn't want you to forsake coming to His temple. He doesn't want you to not tithe. He's given you everything. Don't forget about Him. Don't test Him. I have never talked to one person ever in my life that has followed the decrees of the Lord, that have attended church every Sunday morning, that tithed on everything they ever made, that regretted it. But I can count numerous people who regret the other. The regret not coming to church enough. The regret not paying their tithes as they should. The regret not bringing their children up in the house of the Lord. Oh, I can count them. I can count them and count them and count them and count them. But I can't count one that says, you know what, this did me no good. I don't know not one that said that. So I encourage you today to make a life-altering decision to listen to the Holy Spirit and live a life that is pleasing to Him. I want to bless you today because God wants to bless you. Amen? How many want to be blessed? Amen. Come on, hallelujah. It's a good message. I'm not beating you up today. I love you. God loves you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I thank you that you're going to bless. You're going to continue to bless. You're going to bless beyond measure, Father God, those that are faithful to your decrees. Those, Father God, that whose regulations, whose word they have hidden in their hearts, Lord Jesus, that you're going to bless them. This is going to be the greatest year that they've ever had. They're entering into a new season today, Father God, a season where their life is compared to the Word of God. Their actions are compared to the Word of God, and they live for you. Lord, I thank you that blessings will follow them all the days of their life. In the mighty name of Jesus, somebody say amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you receive that today, hallelujah. I promise you, God has good things for those. The good things for those that tie this word of God to their hands and around their neck. He has promises. He has promises greater than anyone can promise you. Amen. I want you to know that we love you today. I know you felt it's been a solemn message, but I ask you to go back and reflect on it and see how God is challenging you today. Amen. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast. And visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.